Hare Krishna, good evening. Happy to be here with all of you on the second night of our visit to San Jose, California. We're going to speak from Bhagavad Gita this evening, the ninth chapter, which is entitled Most Confidential Knowledge. Text number 34. I would be really surprised if all of you shlokawalas did not know the Sanskrit for this verse. Manmana bhava mad bhakto.
Manmana bhava mad bhakto.
Majjati mam namaskuru.
Majjati mam namaskuru.
Mame vaishasi yuktaivam.
Mame vaishasi yuktaivam.
Atmanam matparayanaha.
Atmanam matparayanaha.
Translation: engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport: in this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is the absolute truth. His body, his mind, and himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhasya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Lila, verses 41 to 48, Deha dehi vibhedo yam neshvare vidyate kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know the science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. Translation: engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. O my Lord, O Transcendental Lion, I offer my obeisances to you along with Mother Lakshmi, sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot. Your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. Bhagavan Narasimhadeva ki jai. So this 34th verse of the 9th chapter, of course, is one of the most important verses in Bhagavad Gita. In fact, it's so important that it's repeated, isn't it, almost verbatim, twice in the Bhagavad Gita. We're reading 9th chapter, but also in 18th chapter, verse 65, I believe. These first two lines are also repeated. Manmana, manmano bhavamad bhakto majjati mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me, and worship me. So, Krishna says, always think of me. In the Padma Purana, there's a similar instruction. Smartavya satato Vishnu, Vishmart avya najatu jit. always remember Krishna and never forget him. Actually, this is the essence of all instructions. And all the rules and regulations that we're following, all the chanting that we're doing, all the service that we're performing, it's meant to bring us to the stage of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. I often say that one time we were in Australia and one brahmachari came out of the brahmachari ashram. I was standing outside and he had one t-shirt and it said, on the front it said, always remember Krishna. That's a very nice instruction. Then he walked past me and I looked at his back and it said, and never forget Krishna. That was the best t-shirt I ever saw. People are really into t-shirts. You know, they have some slogan, some motto, something there kind of shows where they're at. This is where a devotee is supposed to be at. To always remember the Lord and never forget him, even for a moment. But as all of us know, from Bhakta Joe to Vaisheshika Prabhu, yes, from the beginner to the very advanced devotee, it's not so easy to always remember the Lord. How far are we from the goal? Some people want to measure how far they are from the goal. So here you can measure how far you are from the goal of devotional service by how often you remember Krishna and how much time you spend in forgetfulness. You just try one day, look at your stopwatch, start it when you wake up. Krishna. Remembering, and then you push the thing when you stop remembering Krishna. Then you remember him again. And then something, at the end of the day, maybe that 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Not so easy. It can't be done mechanically, actually. The only way that you can really remember someone 24 hours a day is if you love them, isn't it? You don't have to, like, try. It just springs forth from the heart. Like Jesus said, my cup runneth over with love. So even in this material world, which is a very, very, very perverted reflection of the spiritual world, where love becomes lust. Prabhupada said, lust means for me, and love means for Krishna. So here, in the material world, where we come to forget God, it's I, me, and mine. It's all lust in various forms. In the spiritual world, it's Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. The residents of Vaikuntha, the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, not a moment goes by where they don't think of Krishna because they're fully in love with Krishna. Like Prabhupada said one time, there's never a moment that I forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. How is it possible? Because he was a lover of God. So if we want to fulfill this instruction from our acharyas, from the shastras, from God, to always remember Krishna and never forget him, then we have to awaken our love for God. But it's difficult because we're not chaste. What does chaste mean? Unchaste means. Unchaste means you have someone you love, but you've got a lover on the side. Boo. Like we say, an unchaste man, he's married, but he has a girlfriend. We say in fancy English, he has a paramour, amour. In French, love is amour. Très, très bon, l'amour. Oh, Hare Krishna. So to be unchaste means to have your love, your childhood sweetheart, but to cheat on her. Just like recently we saw in the news that the governor of New York, who is a very powerful man in politics, some governors are powerful, some are not so powerful. New York, Well, it's an important state. It's got one of the greatest cities in America, the Big Apple. A very powerful financial bastion of Cully. And the governor was, you know, he was a man who was like, he presented himself as very moral. In fact, he would fight crime, he would fight prostitution, he would fight all types of drug trafficking, and he was very heavy. Some people said more heavy than necessary. He was doing a good job, but he was just sometimes over the top. You know, squeaky clean himself and just down on the bad guys. But there were some discrepancies in his financial dealings, and the FBI looked into it and found out that he was using the taxpayers' money to visit a prostitute or a number of prostitutes. I'm not going to go into details, but they say he was, for their services, he was paying between $5,000 and $10,000 an hour. Well, this, we won't go any further. This is Bhaga. This is a Gita class. But this is unchaste. To have a lover, to have your lawfully wedded wife, who you can repose your loving sentiments, and she can repose her loving sentiments in you, and together, well, you don't live happily ever after, but if you're Krishna conscious, you live very happily in this life, just like Vaisheshika Prabhu and his good wife there. A wonderful, exemplary, I could say almost perfect example of the Grihastha ashram. And all of you are Grihastras, so you have a nice, you don't just have philosophy, but you have an example. And sometimes they say example is higher than precept. Without the example, we don't know how to apply the philosophy. We need both, the Bhagavad and the person Bhagavad. Either of them is sufficient for becoming Krishna conscious, but if you got the both of them, you got a double whammy. So here you have a very good example. Unchaste means to have a lover and to have a paramour on the side in the material world, in the lusty condition. So this governor was found out. And it was all over the news, and he was publicly embarrassed. And what happened? He had to step down from his position. Who knows? Maybe he's just street sweeper now. Well, he probably got a lot of money put to the side, so, you know, he's sitting pretty. So we laugh, but actually we're laughing at ourselves. He who laughs first laughs last. We're pointing, hey, governor, look at you, unchaste. But you're pointing one finger at the accused, and you have three fingers pointing at yourself. How are we unchaste? No, I'm a moral man. I have my wife and my children, and I don't even look at other women. So how are we unchaste? We're unchaste to the supreme lover, God. Because we have affection for this, for Maya. For Maya Devi. For her kingdom. This material world. Even as devotees. One of the offenses, eighth offense to the holy name, is to maintain material attachments, even after hearing so much about the matter. As we said yesterday, 50% of the philosophy is have nothing to do with this material world, and 50% is to devote yourself to God. So we have this. We are unchaste. We have nothing to be proud about. Therefore, Vaishnavas, as advanced as they may be, they're always very humble until that last vestige of independence, material enjoyment, sense gratification, material desires is rooted out of the heart. And even then they're humble, because when you realize God, you can't help but be humble, because He's so great, you realize how small you are. It's like sometimes you go out into material nature and you come before a great mountain, and you know, you feel humble. The forces of nature, you think, hey, I'm a big guy, but you get out in the material nature, you're humble. God help me. And in the presence of someone very great, you feel very humbled. This is how Prabhupada defeated our pride. He just walked amongst us, the saintly person that he was. And we felt very humbled in the presence of such a Mahabhagavata devotee of the Lord. So, at the present moment, we maintain some affection for the material world. So we're still holding on to our unchaste nature. As Jesus said, you can't love mammon. This is a very, 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 very old English word translated in the Bible, maybe in the Middle Ages. You can't love mammon and God at the same time. Or as Prabhupada said very aptly, according to our modern age, material enjoyment and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. So if we really want to love Krishna, which is the goal, we have to begin by purification of the heart. And how do you purify the heart? How do you... I said that recently. Where were we? Somewhere. I was somewhere in another country. I can't forget where I go. I travel. I was in Chile, like everyone went. They don't know, you know. But here in America, I expect all of you to go, wow! Thomas Jefferson! And that's the only one I remember. John Hancock. Give me your John Hancock. We want to know who. We're so curious. But if you took it back and back and back and back to the eons of time, Brahmanda Brahmatikonya Bhagyavan Jeev, since time immemorial, we've been here, but what's the original starting point? Krishna. We were created by Krishna. Oh. And we hear that he's the most lovable person. So logic says, I have a loving relationship with him. Now, when you're convinced that he exists, and he's the source, and he's the supreme lover, hello, 2 + 2 = 4, I must have a loving relationship. And I'm unsatisfied in this world. Even the best loving relationship, with all due respect, terminates at some point. So Prabhupada said, faith means to put your trust in something sublime. So even the best this world has to offer, which is really personal relationships, what is it without personal relationships? You have everything, but you don't have love, you're miserable. You have love, even you're a poor man, you can still be relatively happy. So love, divine, that is everything. It's everything. So hearing Krishna as the supreme lover, we should want to love him. So if you want to love someone, you have, what does love mean? If you want to love someone, you ask them, what pleases you and what displeases you? Because if you try to please them, then some love, and if you displease them, hey, get away. Hey, ow, hut, hut. And Prabhupada would do to the dog, hut. So if you want to love God, it's not some sentiment, I just love him, and go on with all kinds of nonsense, hey. Love means to follow the laws of God, and Prabhupada said the laws of God equals, what does it mean? Religion. Religion, Prabhupada said, is following the laws of God. So study the Bible and learn to love God. Study the Quran and learn to love God. Study the Torah, learn to love God. Study the Lotus Sutras of Buddha, there's no conception of God. But Buddhism is so popular, people are so attracted, but they don't know. It's a voidism, actually. But if you really want to love God, then you have to inquire, love means what would acting in such a way as to please him and acting in such a way as not to displease him. Like, where do you start? Like, what do I find out about that? Tat vidi paripatena paripashana sevaya uparekshanti teginam ganinas tatva darshana. Just try to learn the truth. This is this truth. Not some relative truth. Try to learn the absolute truth, not just some absolute. Try to understand God by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service to him, the self-realized souls. can give you that truth, because Tattvadarshi, they've seen it. Either they've seen it with their eyes or they've seen it with their ears. The guru who's actually seen God, very rare. Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrita, if such an Uttama Adhikari is present, then you should accept that person as your... But if such an Uttama Adhikari is not present at that time, or you're not in that part of the world, it's not, then you can also accept the Lord's representative who's seen, we see by hearing, who has full faith in Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, who himself is fixed in that knowledge, on that path, exemplary, you can follow him and still. And just like the postman, he takes a letter from the postbox and gives it to the person to whom it's addressed. So spiritual master means he's taking the message of Godhead and giving it to the disciple. If you follow that message, you can become Krishna conscious. So we are fortunate, all of us, because we are following in the footsteps of one who actual Tattvadarshi. I gave a disciple that name. Your name is Tattvadarshi. Oh, Guru, I wanted a name. Tattvadarshi. One who's seen Krishna. Tattva means truth and darshan means to see. One who's seen the absolute truth. That's Prabhupada. We're all following him. Whether you took initiation from Prabhupada or whether you are taking initiation from a follower of Prabhupada. Everyone has equal opportunity to reach perfection. Just like if you've got electrical line going through the neighborhood. If you plug into that electricity at the beginning or the middle or the end, you get the full potency. It's not that it's weaker at some point. No. It's just as powerful. So those of you who have come have never seen Prabhupada. It's not that your chances are less. Not at all. The message is there. The example is there for us to follow. Prabhupada is the Shikshu Guru for the whole wide world throughout the entire Kali Yuga. That's a long time. So he's such an intimate associate of the Lord, and we can ask him, Sir, what pleases your beloved and what displeases him? So Prabhupada will tell us, oh, Krishna's favorite instrument is the flute. His favorite colored dhoti is pitambar. It's yellow. His favorite devotee is Radharani. His favorite place is? And he likes foodstuffs like halva and puri. Sorry, no lasagna, pizza. Of course, we can offer lasagna and pizza, but Krishna's person. He has his likes and dislikes, so let us maintain the tradition. Not let that part become weak. Nowadays when I travel around, there's lots of lasagnas and pizzas and veggie burgers, and I say to the Hindu Mataji, can you cook some nice kofta balls? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know how to cook that. How about some khichdi and rice and dal and halva and no, I can give you some Cheerios. It's becoming like that. Then Prabhupada said, don't let this movement become like Christianity. That was not an offensive statement. What he meant was that it's been watered down through the centuries, compromised. So we don't want our movements. We want to uphold our tradition. And our ladies and men should learn all the original dishes. And they're so nice. They're so nice. So we have to know what pleases Krishna. At least on the altar, everything is very paka. And we have to avoid the things he doesn't like. He doesn't like demons. And he gets very mad when the demons say, Sudarshan! Right, Shishupal? Shishupal came out of the womb cursing God. Like you wait for the first word of the baby after like what? A year and a half, 2 years? Shishupal, he came out speaking perfect Hindi. I don't know what language. But immediately he was cursing Krishna. And this went on and on and on and on and on. So Krishna said, enough. And he came to kill him. for his own good. But Shishupal's mother, she said, he's a good boy. He's a bad association. He's a good boy. You know, even if the guys are murderer, rapist, serial killer, the mother's always thinking, but he's a good boy, Judge. Why? You put him into jail. So Shishupal's mother came. He said, he's a good boy. He's my baby. My bambino. And Krishna said, all right. I'll give him 999 chances. And the 1,000th time he blasphemed me, off with his head. So the famous Rajasuya sacrifice, where they wanted to elect the utmost in the august assembly of so many great personalities, the Kurus and the Pandavas, so who would be the special person there? So different people were recommended. And somebody proposed, I think Bhima proposed Krishna. Shishupal was in the audience. Oh, wait a minute, this guy, you know, like, he's born as a Vaishya, and he acts like a Kshatriya, and he's got lots of girlfriends, and he says, you know, he's just... So Krishna said, 997, 998, 999, and Shishupal said, and he's just a rascal. So Krishna stood up, you see the famous painting, off with his head. Now Krishna doesn't like the demons. As much as he loves the devotees, he dislikes the demons. Like a magnet. A magnet has the ability to attract an equal potency to repulse. So the devotees, boom, they're bosom friends with the Lord. No one uses that. That's a really old, antiquated, is that the word?
Antiquated.
He has a big dictionary in his office. He knows all these fancy words, I can't figure them out. Yes, very old word. That magnet, it can attract or it can repulse. So it attracts the devotees or the bosom friends. They don't... No one uses that word anymore, bosom friends. My bosom buddy, just like Vaishishika Prabhu is my bosom buddy. Yeah, I will say, he's my bosom buddy. I'm making so many plans this year to get more of his association. You're so lucky, you have his association all the time, you don't know. They sometimes say a sadhu is appreciated everywhere but his own village. Now, I know you appreciate him, but I just... trying to help you appreciate your good. But bosom buddy means that you can embrace tightly. Yeah. Bosom to bosom. Chest to chest, let us say. So Krishna's like that with his devotees. And the opposite is true with the non-devotees. Just as the Lord brings the devotees close to his chest, the non-devotees are repulsed away from the Lord. We gave a definition of the day of us. Someone asked, what is auspiciousness and what is inauspicious? Auspicious means whatever brings you closer to God. Inauspicious means whatever repels you further from God. So we want to act, even in our neophyte stage of being covered, we practice what the acharyas say will make us bosom friends with the Lord, lovers of the Lord. In the beginning, we don't really know what, does a child know what's happening? Mothers, you know, nursing and changing the diapers and giving medical attention and training, and child doesn't know anything. As he matures, he begins to appreciate. Like once I had a fight with my mother. I was 17, it was quite a big argument. So in the end, she just started crying. Prabhupada said, a woman's ultimate weapon is her tears. My mom said, don't you remember all those times I changed your dirty diapers? And I went, oh, Mom, okay, no, I'll mow the lawn, take out the garbage. So whatever pleases God, we want to know we're very interested to know what displeases Him. We're all ears. and sadhus speak. He doesn't like your religion. He personally comes to destroy it. He doesn't like animal slaughter, especially his favorite animals, the cows. Prabhupada writes that the reason that World War II took place, and only devotees will understand this, is because of the mass slaughter of the cows. It's called global karma. We have individual karma and global karma. The whole world felt the effect of that horrific crime, killing so many innocent animals and cows. He doesn't like intoxication. So we act according to those things, and then as we stop the bad things and do the good things, we get cured of the disease of material existence. Like when you go to the doctor, what does he do? Two things, the do's and the don'ts. Don't go out in the cold weather, do stay at home. Don't overeat, cut down your eating, take fruit juice and like this, don't eat heavy meals. Don't go to work, stay home. Take this, just do's and the don'ts, the rules and regulations. The rules are the don'ts and the regulations are the do's. It's a fancy way of saying it. Rules and regulations. You know, hardly anybody says that in society. It's like a phrase coined in Krishna consciousness. The rules and the regulations. You understand? Yeah, right. The do's and the don'ts. So he probably went out of the 22nd Avenue after the class to take a walk, and he walked down the Bowery a little bit, and they looked in the donut shop, and there were devotees there, dunking the donuts in coffee and smoking cigarettes after the class. And Prabhupada said, "What is this shop?" And Brahmananda said, "It's the donut shop." Prabhupada said, "No, it's the do not shop." We have the do's and we have the don'ts. So by following, avoiding the don'ts and doing the do's, the heart becomes purified, and it gives a chance for that dormant seed of love of Godhead to sprout in favorable circumstances. It's very scientific, actually. When Krishna consciousness is explained according to Guru Shastra and Sadhu, very logically and reasonably, it just makes sense. And really, no one else has a philosophy like this. No one has philosophy. Everything is just the impulse of the senses. Whatever brain is there is just how to exploit the material nature even more. And even philosophers, it's not philosophy, it's just speculation. It's like all over the place. And even what is religion these days, with all due respect, it's very superficial. We are blessed. We're blessed with knowledge. And we should all become philosophers. We think of a philosopher in an ivory tower and say, the thinker guy. Well, no, we all have minds and intelligence, and we're all meant to be philosophers in our own right, because that armed with knowledge, stand and fight the material energy. Unless you defeat the material energy, then you can't go on to victory in Krishna consciousness. When it comes to that point where you've given up all attachments to the world, and that seed of bhakti is, and you love Krishna, it's the goal. The goal is to love God. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. This is the goal of Krishna God. This is why we're here. We're here for that reason. Our success will be when you chant and you cry. Maybe a long way off, but at least we know the goal. The sailor's in the middle of the ocean, but he has hope because he knows that some distance away is the land. He's not a creature of the water, he's a creature of the land. We're not a creature of this earth. We're a creature of the spiritual sky, and we're far away in the ocean of material existence, but we know what is the paramgati. We know what is the goal. And when we come to that goal of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him, will give great pleasure to our Gurudev. That's what he wants. He doesn't want, our flower garlands and our necessarily our monetary contributions. And what he really wants to see is that his disciples make progress in Krishna consciousness. That's really what he wants. just like the parents. The kids want to do this and that. Okay, do what you want. I just want you to be happy. So take any kind of service and do this and do that. But in the long run, after all is said and done, have you awakened your love for Krishna? Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. The real test of your bhajan will come at the moment of death. If you can call out Krishna's name spontaneously at death, that's it. Well, it's just in a show of devotional service. So to always remember, never forget. Just like Kamsa. He's a very good example of Krishna consciousness. Excellent example of Krishna consciousness. Once he heard the voice from the sky, the oracle. You fool, Kamsa! What? Don't you know that the eighth child of your sister Devaki will be the source of your death? Took out his sword, grabbed his own sister by the hair, ready to slice her throat. This is a demon. Her husband was a very good preacher. And he convinced them, not just now. We promise you, when the eighth child comes, we'll give you the baby. So no problem, you just got the baby. And you'll have a very bad reputation. People will think, oh, they'll think bad of me. You know, demons are very, well, my reputation. Devotee's equipoise is an honor and dishonor. And he's just thinking of Krishna. Doesn't want honor, he's not. So, from that point on, though, he was very, never a moment went by when he forgot Krishna. Always thinking of him, never. But no. Because Rupa Goswami says there's a criteria to this always remembering, never forgetting. It has to be done favorably. You have to think in a loving mood, not in a mood of hatred. You can always remember someone if you love them and if you hate them. We'll have to include that. Kamsa hated. But the real definition, Anyabilasita Sunyam Jnana Karma Narvitam Anukalena Krishna Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. That when first class devotional service develops, one is devoid, cleansed of all material desires, any tendency towards merging into God, and all fruitive activities, another ISKCON phrase, fruitive activities. The devotee must serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So Kamsa wasn't doing anything favorable. But a devotee, everything he does is favorable. Even the smallest, Prabhupada said, the detail is a sign of love. So devotee, right down to the detail, this is a sign of love. Like Prabhupada, he was so good at the big things, the big preaching and the big temples and the mass distribution of books. But when we were installing Radha Parasishwara in the Paris temple at Katra Rulasur, Fort Rulasur, we had them in some, actually it was a bucket. And they unveiled Radharani, and they were bathing her. And Prabhupada was looking from a distance, and he saw this little mark here. I think that was some dirt from the packing in India. So the ceremony is going on, and the power pouring. And Prabhupada got off the Vyasasana. He's looking at Radharani with such devotion. This is where I got the impetus for myself to do deity worship, from seeing how much love and care my spiritual master had for the deity. Oh my Lord, you are not a statue, you are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda, the young Brahmana said to Shakshi Gopal. Come back and witness. You're not a statue, you can walk. You can talk, you can walk. So Prabhupada got off the Vyasana, walked to where we were, and he went like this on Radharani's cheek, on her cheek. He just a little detail, but lover of the Lord. Detail's a sign of love. Attention to detail is a sign of love. Actually, it was a little blemish in the marble. So Prabhupada realized that it wasn't just some dirt or a flower petal when he walked by. I thought, this is deity worship. Detail. Now, if you see the temples where Lord is worshipped and devotees are trying to awaken every little detail about that, where the flower garlands, the position of the flute, the offering, the tulsi leaf is on every preparation, the artiks on time, like that, everything down. Prabhupada said cleanliness and punctuality is the essence of deity worship. So although Kamsa is not listed as one of the great devotees, he was all remembering, never forgetting, but not favorably. So we want to think of Krishna favorably. And we're following in the footsteps, not of Kamsa, not of Hiranyaksha, not of Hiranyakashipu, Kumbhakarna. We're following in the footsteps of the Brajabasis. We're not following. He also got the attention in Kamsa, but he had to become a very big demon. And as Vaisheshika Prabhu indicated the other day, the easier path is to become a very humble and insignificant devotee. That's the path of least resistance. That in humility endears one to the Lord. Give up the sense of master and become the humble servant. It endears you to the Lord. As the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth. So Krishna is pleased with such an attitude. He'll bless the devotee with the highest reward, which is what? What's the highest reward? Going home. I want to go home. You hear that? I want to go home, Mommy. We're on vacation. Yeah, I want to go home. Even the longest vacation, you know. You go on vacation, a long time. Isn't it? Even after a long vacation, there's no place like home. You've got everything there. You got a great room, a hotel, you got the beach, everything. I want to go home. So we're on this world. We thought we could come here like a vacation. But after a while you realize there's no place like home. Home is what? Home is where the heart is. So if your heart is in this world, you'll think it's your home, and you know, you'll live in the ghetto, even if you live in, you know, the best part of town. You won't be happy. But if you realize your home is what? Nothing less, nothing more, because there's nothing higher than the world of the lotus, the transcendental lotus of Sri Vrindavan Dham. That is our home. That is where, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are actually followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our goal is not Vaikuntha, but Goloka Vrindavan. And we're chanting the mantra to get there. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. So we have to practice now, because practice makes perfect. We can't falsely claim to be that advanced, because that's sahaja. Sahaja means to jump over. We know the goal, but we know we're honest where we're at. And we, like when I was a kid, I used to go to my grandmother's in Woodside. I was born in Palo Alto, lived in Marin. You all know these places. And south is Woodside. The upper crust lives there. My grandfather was a wealthy man. So I'd go, and every year I'd go, and I'd stand up, and they'd mark how much I'd grown that day. And they wanted to be, my grandfather, I want you to be a real strapping boy. So he had like 6'1", you know. And I only reached, you know, 6'1¼". My grandfather was so displeased, you know, eat more, more, more. So know where you're at in Krishna consciousness. We have to know where we're at. What is the goal? Like Bob Marley said, we know who we are, we know where we're going. Exodus. Exodus out of the material world, back home, back to Godhead. So it's practice now. We're not at that level, these great devotees. We're practicing. Sadhan Bhakti means devotional service and practice. We're doing the same things they do in the spiritual world. The same things. You're going to be doing this eternally. But there they're doing it in full Krishna consciousness, and now we're doing it according to the stopwatch, like a couple minutes a day. But let's grow to be 6'1". Let's make our spiritual master proud by maturing into Sabai Pumsham Pada Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Doksaje Ahaitakiya Patiyata Yayatma Shupashidati. Unmotivated, uninterrupted devotees of the Lord. And that will please Gurudev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the divine couple, Sisi Radha and Krishna, as we mature. Just like this little boy, Gadai. He's such a nice little boy now. He's one of my best friends, right, Gadai?
Yeah.
What are we doing together when you get older? You can tell. You can tell them now. We're going to go together to South America and find dinosaurs. They're laughing. They don't believe, but it's true. We made a pact. And we know all how they look. The T-Rex, right? And the Brontosaurus. Oh, you called it Brontosaurus. Brontosaurus. And we're going to go there because maybe... I remember the Indians I met when I was in the Amazon, I told you? They were all talking about the big lizards. I was in the Amazon for several months, many years ago. We'd come in contact with the nomad tribes as we were going to the small tributaries deep in the jungle. And they told us of big lizards. And, you know, they talked about lizards as big as a house. Wow. I thought the first ones were like, you know, exaggerating. But we met so many nomads like that. And they drew them. Just like, Gadai can, he's only, how old are you?
Seven.
He can draw really good dinosaurs. Really good dinosaurs, so... We're going to go there, right? Because they describe them to us, and we have like this. We have these plans, but so it's nice. But in our heart of hearts, we're looking forward to that day that Gadai can sit here, give a very nice class on the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, quoting shloka. I think anyone from this particular San Jose yatra, they should be also shloka walas. The philosophy, and he'll lead nice kirtan. So we're happy with his progress now. We're willing to be part of his fantasies, I mean part of his reality. But we know the ultimate reality, and we're looking forward to that when he grows up and we pass the staff of the renounced order over to him as we're departing this world, and we say, you carry on with the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Like so the guru, he's okay that we're, you know, we have our fantasies. We're chanting Hare Krishna, but when we're alone, walking home, and we have our fantasies about enjoying. Okay, we'll tolerate. But not after so many years. After some time, we expect that the child should grow up, understand the reality, and that is giving the greatest pleasure. So the greatest gift we can give our spiritual master is to advance in Krishna consciousness and join him in his nitya lila sevas in the spiritual world. That is the essence of this very beautiful verse of Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki
Jai.
I did want to just share with you some, because you're all Sankirtan devotees, and you know, the Sankirtan devotees, what do they thrive on? Gulab Jamins and simply, no, we thrive on Sankirtan stories. I just want to share a very brief story, up and coming story, you could say, but it's a work in progress. You've heard about the Woodstock Festival, Poland. We're just part of that festival. The organizers, particularly the main organizer, Mr. Jurek Owszak, who's a great philanthropist, humanitarian in the country of Poland. He raises $10 to $15 million a year for poor children or crippled children. Children who need medical attention. And he does that through a telethon in January. And then to thank the kids who help him raise the money, he puts on this gigantic rock festival. It makes the original Woodstock look like kindergarten. You know, 400,000 kids come. It's in a wooded area, and they put their tents up, and for 3 days it's rock and roll, but he has the motto, no violence, no drugs, but they bring their beer. It's this huge event. So many, many years ago, he called us and said, you know, could the Haris come and be there because of some trouble last year? And if you guys come, you know, there'll be peace. Because he'd seen us in action and taken some of our prasad. So we agreed, and we started off small. To make a long story short, now for the past number of years, we have a huge tent the size of an American football field. We have 10, 20 different tents around the field depicting different aspects of Vedic culture. And we take up 2 acres of land. Huge! My friend Bibi Govinda Maharaj called it the greatest show on earth. We give out, or we sell for a very moderate price, 110,000 plates of prasadam in 72 hours. Tons of food. Lots of books. Crores and crores of books, And our tent is filled with anywhere between 5 and 10,000 people in the evenings. We have these rock concerts. We had Shelter come 1 year. We had, what other band? Dira comes, and different groups. The kids love it. And it adds a nice element. And we have Rath Yatra throughout Woodstock 3 times a day. And we go, there's a street that goes right, breaks the field up. And we go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And everyone sees the Rath Yatra. The kids chant and dance. I mean, one time Yuri came to me, he said, are you part of my festival or am I part of your festival? So as a result of our ongoing friendship, he's the, during the life of, or when John Paul the Fifth, or what was he, John Paul the Recent, when he was Polish Pope, he was the most popular man in the country, and Jurek Oshek was number two. People really like him. And he likes us. And our relationship grew and grew and grew and grew. And I took him to India. One time we traveled around India, mostly spent time in Vrindavan. Next year we went to Nepal. We climbed all the way up the Kali Gandaki, all the way to Muktinath. And at Muktinath there's 108 rivers that come out. They've built, the sadhus in the old days, they built these spouts. And these 108 sacred rivers at the top of the Himalayas, it's so cold up there. This water spout, it's just like ice. And the hardy pilgrim, what he does is he strips down to his kopens and he runs through these 108 fountains are coming out. And I did it. You can see I'm still blue over here. I almost passed out several times. You're walking, you're wading through the waters, icy, icy cold. So I came to the end. They were filming for a documentary. So Yurik said, well, what's the benefit of that anyway? I said, all the sins in your heart are destroyed. He stripped down to his underwear. And he went through, he's a big man, he went through. So gradually, we went to India, went to Vrindavan, went to Radhakund, and I'm talking about, he's looking at the water. You know, the green algae in the film, everything. And he said, you're going to bathe in there? I said, yes. Any sins that you've committed in your lifetime, they're washed away by bathing in this Radhakund. Plus you get love of God. He's a big, important entrepreneur and, you know, businessman, entertainer. And then I took the Purukkama party a little bit further and I said, what happened to Yurik? And some, I don't know, somebody went back, he was bathing in the Radhakund. And the devotee followed him and he bathed, went 5 times in the Radhakund. So what if we have Shraddha, we have faith, we'll know the effect of that. So every year we're doing the Woodstock to get our relationship becoming closer. So this year he wanted to go back to India to film the sadhus. He has a television program once or twice every week. He needs a lot of material. I went with him to South Africa and I introduced him to Nelson Mandela. We had a big fest. He's very grateful. You know, we help him, he helps us. He's always speaking up for us. So he wanted to go back to India. So we went, and, you know, we went here, there, and back to Vrindavan. And he was a little put off by how Vrindavan has become overpopulated and crowded and dirty. And it wasn't like last time he was here. We went to meet Padmanabha Goswami, in charge of the Radharaman temple. So having a special lunch with Goswamiji. And Goswamiji's, I will tell you about the Radharaman, how he has come from the Shalagram Shila. You will not understand because Vaishnavaji, Shalagram Shila is the stone. Not the stone, but the Vishnu. You understand? And he is the God. The stone is the God. And he is self-manifest. No one has created him. You understand? Self-manifested stone. Just tell him something like ABC at the point. So Yurik, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a Shalagram Shila. And Padmanabha Goswami went, Where did you get that? So Yurik said, Maharaj took me to the Kali Gandaki. He was always talking about Vishnu, Ashtishton, self-manifest, God himself. He said, I'm a Catholic. I can have faith in these things. God is all-powerful. I took one stone and I carry him with me everywhere I go in the world for the last 5 years. But not in the bathroom. And this, he said, he, not it, he is always protecting me. Yeah. I was thinking, oh my God, Krishna is so amazing. So, you know, he's got a big ego, and, you know, he's a big man, and like, but he carries a shalagram. So then I stayed in India, and then he, Nandini, my secretary, and Jayatam, two secretaries, married couple, they went back with Yurik to Poland. And then when they got to Amsterdam, we're changing planes, so Nandini said, so Yurik, what did you think of India this time? And I'm like, oh no, this is dirty, and they want your money, and this and the Bollywood, and it's just, the culture is dying. And she said, well, what about Vrindavan? He got real emotional. He said, you know, when I get old, I think I'm just going to go back to Vrindavan and put on a dhoti and be a devotee. Yeah. I said, wow, that's amazing. But you've seen him. He's got shorts and tattoos, and a tough guy, you know, bad streets of Warsaw. So then, last week, the Indian ambassador, new Indian ambassador came to Poland. So the last one was really good. You know, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes they're a different religion, sometimes they're agnostic. So we had a plan to go and meet him. So Yurik found out about it, so he wanted to come also, because, you know, he did the documentary in India. He wanted to show the ambassador some footage and get the ambassador to help him bring a musical group to Woodstock. So they went. And Yurik's sitting there in his blue jeans and his tattoos, you know, and Nandini's speaking about the Woodstock. And then the ambassador says, so you're all from ISKCON, isn't it? And Nandini said, yes. He said, I saw your Kunti Mala. He said, I'm a follower of ISKCON. They've done so much good work in my country and around the world, spreading our culture. So Yurik's hearing this, you know, wow, the ambassador is saying like that. So then he turned to Yurik. He said, you're also ISKCON? So Yurik said, you know George Harrison? And the ambassador said, yes, of course, the Beatles. So Yurik said, you know, he was a kind of devotee. So I'm that kind of devotee. And Nandini and Jayatam are like, what? It's amazing what he's saying. So the ambassador says, then you're big Woodstock? We should work together. We should do Woodstock India 2008. And Yurik goes, what? Ambassador says, yes, if we can work together, I'll get the official cooperation of the Polish government and the Indian government, and we'll do the biggest Woodstock ever. And Yurik starts smiling. You know, wow, you know, get the help, because you're going to get all the people he wanted. So the ambassador says, you just drop a list of what you want, and you'll have it. So they do it like 17, 18 points, this artist, that, Anu Jalota, and what's that famous dancer? Hemamalini, and, you know, this Bollywood star, and this yoga, and this Ayurvedic school, and, you know, you can't present pure Krishna consciousness. We work other groups, and lots of singing and dance. Huge posters all around the festival site, 400,000 kids. The Himalayas, and Govindaji, and Taj Mahal, and yoga. You know, the church is just going to, like, turn over in their grave when they see this in the main stage. And so, you know, everyone's going to think, you know, Yurik became a full-fledged Hare Krishna. So they presented to the ambassador, presented all these ideas to the Indian government. Indian government said, no, we can't spend so much money and go to so much effort for one festival. Has to be more festivals. So ambassador said, what do we do? Nandini smiled. She said, you know, we have 46 festivals during the summer. We travel to the Baltic Sea Coast. We have 46 to 48 festivals. Every day, 10,000 people coming to our events. We're always thinking, how to get some people from India? It's so hard to get the visas. It's too expensive. So the ambassador wrote back. He said, well, we have 46, 47 festivals. So the government agreed. Whatever you need, you have as many entertainers as you want. All the airfares are paid for. So we don't have to tax our brains. What kind of entertainment we're going to have on our stage for our 46 festivals? We have whatever we want by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's going to be the biggest show on earth. So we're making a personal invitation and humble plea that you let Vaisheshika Prabhu go just for a week in the summertime, you know, just like 3 or 4 days, so he can come to that festival. We're going to pay his ticket. He's going to be our special guest. And you carry on the show here for a week, which is a big time for collecting. And if you agree to that, let's hear a big round of applause for Vaisheshika coming to Woodstock. Thank you very much. And any of you who would also like to come, just let us know beforehand. You fly into Berlin, and it's only an hour away across the border. And you can see, really, the wonderful world of Krishna consciousness in a very, very big way that will inspire you in your own preaching here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.